So this is an attempt at taking the brisket derech and make it into a methodology and try to see different ways of approaching it. I'd like to discuss tonight a single unit, a single concept, and that is what I call gavra and cheftza. This is very relevant to brisk. Of course, the differentiation between gavra and cheftza is not something that Reb Chaim created. It was way before Reb Chaim. It's in the Gemara itself. But before we get to that, just a few words of introduction, of background about what we want to do with gavra and cheftza. What we'd like to do is to show that gavra and cheftza is a distinction that applies to three different areas of halacha. First of all, to isurim. Secondly, to psulim. And thirdly, to mitzvos, to chiyuvim. So you could have an isur gavra, an isur cheftza, a chiyuv gavra, a chiyuv cheftza, and you could have a psul gavra and a psul cheftza. Now, within each of those categories, you'd have to break it down into smaller categories, and we'll see what we could do for it. I just want to point out that at the outset, that the distinction between the subject and the object is ancient, and it appears in many different legal systems. But I think in halacha, it takes on a whole new meaning. You know, something that you won't find in chachma v'goyim tamim, but you won't find this in other chachmas. The word iser chefta, as we get into this concept, means that there's some change in the object, and it's implanted in the object. It's not something that just, you know, that I have to, obviously, even an iser chefta doesn't mean the chefta has an iser on it. The chefta doesn't have isurim; it's an inanimate object. But it means that I have to remove myself from the chefta because of, as a result of, something that's inherent in the object. Okay, so what were the antecedents way, way back at the time of the Chazal, time of the Gemara, for this distinction between Iser Cheftza and Iser Gavra? I think, and tell me if you agree with me, that the Sugya in Shas, which explicitly addresses this, is the Sugya of Neder. What's the difference between Neder and Shvua? And the Gemara says at the beginning of Masechta Nedarim, right there on Beis Amud Beis, it says that neder, you'll see this on the top of the left side of your page, tana nedarim de mitzar cheftza alei, the cheftza become asar on him, lafuki shvua de ka'asar nafshe min cheftza, that he created an isar on himself, nafshe. Again, the word gavra doesn't appear, but I think the meaning of gavra is conveyed by the word nafshe, min cheftza. So in the case of a shvua, I have to separate myself from the cheftza, not because there's anything inherently wrong with the cheftza. Oh, I'm sorry, I told you the top left, but you know, for the photocopying, I wasn't able to do it that way. I apologize. You know, it just didn't fit on the page. So let's talk about distinctions between isurim in general. You can differentiate or categorize Isurim in many, many different ways. You can talk about an Isur Malchus as opposed to an Isur Karis, known as Lufi Chumar Saavera. You can talk about an Isur for which you have to give up your life, and an Isur for which you have to violate the Isur rather than give up your life for Chai Bohem. You can talk about an Isur Doraisa as opposed to an Isur Drabonon. And then there are different types of Isurim. We spoke once about the Isur of Chatzi Shir as opposed to Shir Sholem. We spoke about the Isur Akila as opposed to the Isur Hanah. We spoke about Isurei Bia. There are many different types of Isurim. But this one, which jumps at us from the first pages of Tractate Nedarim, this is something really fascinating when the Gemara talks about the difference between Neder and Shvua. Interesting is that there are a number of differences in Halacha between a Neder and a Shvua, Nafkaminas, and they all, I think, emanate and evolve from this fundamental distinction that, whereas in the case of neder, I convert the object, transform it to an iser chefta, as opposed to shvu, where the chefta itself remains heter, and I have to remove myself from the chefta. So the first nafkamina would be, let's say I take a neder on a dvar mitzvah. Suppose, for example, it's the first day of Sukkot, and I have in front of me dalad minim, and I take an iser neder on those dalad minim. That would be one case, neder. Shvua would be where I prohibit myself from netila. I take a shvuas netila alai. And the halacha is, as the Gemara formulates it at the end of the first parak of Nedarim, that with regard to Nedarim, a neder could actually be mevatel a mitzvah. In other words, if I create an Iser in the object, I can no longer use the object for the mitzvah. Whereas in the case of Shvuah, we apply the rule of Mushpa V'yomid Me'ar Sinai. The Torah says you have to do this, and you're saying I won't do this. With a Shvuah, that Shvuah can't be Tofes, can't be Chal. And the Rambam explains this in the third parak of Hilchos Nedarim. For example, the case of Matzah. If I say Matzah Zu, Asura Alai, that would be a Neder. I convert the Matzah into a Cheftedi Surah, then I can no longer eat this matzah for the mitzvah of Leil HaPesach. But if on the other hand I take a shvuah shel ochal kikar zu, then the shvuah is null and void, because I cannot take a maisa which the Torah commands me to involve myself in and convert it into a maisa avera. That I can't do. Another nafkamina would be, and this is perhaps the most fundamental one, is that a shvuah could be chal on a davar shein bo mamish, which basically means a shvuah applies to an action, whereas a neder can't be chal unless it's a davar sheyesh bo mamish. So for example, I could take a neder not to enjoy the benefits of this table because it's a davar sheyesh bo mamish. But if I would say neder yeshiva gabi kisei olai, that neder wouldn't be chal. Again, it might become a yad, because sometimes you can convert a neder into a shvuah, but leaving aside the halacha of yad, it certainly would not be a shvuah. And the third nafkamina that I know of is the din of hatfasa. In the case of a neder, you have a halach of hatfasa. In fact, Rashi sheet at the beginning of Nedarim is that ikar neder hatfasa. Hatfasa means I have to take an object that's already got a neder, already got some sort of hegdesh in it, like a karbon, and then I take this object which is not also a neder, and I'm mimatvis, and I wouldn't say transfer, because the original Issa remains Asur, but somehow, I don't know what word to use, by osmosis, you know, some sort of contagious reaction, or cloning, let's call it cloning, where the neder is a clone of the original Dovar Anodr, that's called Atfasa. With regard to Shvuah, there's no possibility of creating a Shvuah through Hatfasa, Lechora, because Hatfasa is always on a Heftza, and Shvuah is not Chal on the Heftza. Now, if you take a look at the top of your page, I raise an interesting question with regard to bittul. Would there be bittul on an Issa Shvua? In the case of an Issa Neder, which is an Issa Hefta, so if a Hefta De Tera, if a Hefta De Sura gets mixed up with a Hefta De Tera, you can talk about bittul. But in the case of Shvua, where I prohibit myself from doing the action, I don't know if there should be a concept of bittul. But the answer is that I think there's bittul even in an Issa Gavra, because ultimately an Issa Gavra means that I can't eat X. No, it's not inherent in X, in the object, it's inherent in me, because I took upon myself the Shvuah. But nevertheless, the object now is enjoined from me as far as that action, that pu'ula that I mentioned, so I can't eat it. What can't I eat? I can't eat matzah, but now matzah got mixed up with chametz, and I never took a shvuah not to eat chametz. So the truth of the matter is this might depend upon how bittul operates, you know, whether bittul changes the identity of the object or it's a special matir, I don't know. But I just want to point out, through bittul, I'm using bittul as my vehicle to convey the message, which I think is very important, that in a case of a shvuah, the shvuah is chal with regard vis-a-vis a cheftza. It's not, you know, it's not just Pareach Ba'avir. And in the case of an Issa Chefta, the Issa Chefta has to chal be relationship to a Gavra. I mean, there's no Issa Chefta unto itself. But the question is where your starting point is and where your ending point is. In the case of Neder, of an Issa Chefta, you start with the Chefta and you end up with an Issa Gavra. I have to remain far away from this object because of the Neder that's inherent, the Issa that's inherent in the object. In the case of the Shvuah, I don't begin with the Chefta, I begin with the Gavra and his Isur. And then as a result of that Isur, he can't enjoy the benefit of a Cheftza. Is that clear so far? That's good. Now we get on to Nazirus. Nazirus is very, very complicated. Nazirus kind of fits in between the cracks. It falls in between because on the one hand, Nazirus is a kind of Kedushas HaGavra. You know, I transform myself, I take on a new status as a Nazir. All the other Isurim are result from my change in status. That sounds like what kind of an Isur? That sounds like an Issa Shvuah, like an Issa Chefta. But on the other, excuse me, an Issa Gavra, I meant to say. But on the other hand, when a person takes a neder, Yayin Zeh Osir Olai, that's a neder, he creates a, he converts Yayin into a Chefta Isura, then in the same thing could happen in the case of Naziris. What you're saying is that the Yayin itself becomes a Chefta Isura. And one interesting nafkamina would be if a nazir would be allowed to use this yayin for kiddush, because if it's an isa gav, if nazirus boils down to an isa gavra, then we would apply the principle of mushba v'yod mar sinai. So the shvuah can't be chal to undermine the chiyuv shtia of dalit kosal leil pesach or kiddush. If on the other hand nazirus generates an isa chefta, so we said that Nedarim achal even on a dvar mitzvah, because the chefta becomes a chefta disura, so I can't drink it for kiddush. And this becomes extremely interesting in the case of Rashi, because Rashi in Nazirus actually goes on record as saying that kiddush on yayin is doraisa. That's against all the Rishonim. All the Rishonim agree that kiddush, you know, kiddush ba'mira is possibly doraisa, but nobody says other than that Rashi over there that yayin itself is doraisa. Everyone assumes that that's takana midivrei sofer. So the Rosh at the beginning of Masechta Nedarim addresses the question of nazirus, and he wants to know: is nazir also b'yayin because the yayin itself, vis-a-vis the nazir, is an isur chefta, it's a chefta shel isur, or no? That since a person accepts upon himself nazirus, he becomes a gavra of a nazir. Umemela, as a result of his the dinim that are in his gavra, he can't drink wine. So the Rosh tips the scale in favor of Isur Gavra based on the structure of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah at the beginning of Nedarim puts Nazirus in the category of Shvuah. Now, the way the Mishnah it presents itself, it would seem that Nazirus belongs to the category of Shvuah. And truth be told, I think the Rosh makes a lot of sense, because the Gemara says that if a person says aha, which is a yad with nazirus, and then there's a nazir over lefanov, then he becomes a nazir. And the Gemara seems to apply the rule of yad hamochiach. The Gemara doesn't say that it works midinat fasa. So I don't know if you can, because again in shvuah, I don't know if we have atfasa in shvuah. Unless the Gemara means that he's trying to be matfis. Like, what happens if a nazir would look at yayin and say hare zeh kazeh? Now, all yayin is prohibited to a nazir, but he could add on top of the isur nazirus, he can add the isur bal yachal dvar of nedarim. Because if nazirus generates a chefta disura according to the first tzad nerosh, which he rejects halacha, then you might say that fasa works. Actually, the fact that nazirus is chal through kabbalas nazirus, the nazir doesn't have to spell out that he won't cut his hair and he won't go into a cemetery and he won't drink any wine. I mean, all this is clearly a result of the fact that he now is a nazir. And all those sugyas, like in Brachos and elsewhere, that compare nazir to kohen gadol, you know, both of them have the same dinim as far as whether you violated fatumas mess, you know, in the case of kvura or whatever it might be. So that's round number one. So what we've discussed so far are three isurim. We've categorized neder as an isur chefta, shvuah and nazir in the case of the Rosh as an isur gavra. What about shar isurim Torah? What about all other isurim? What about basa b'cholov? And what about klaya kerem and nevela and trefa and chametz and all the other cases of chefta disura? So it would seem that all other isurim depend upon a machlokas rishonim, and you could find these rishonim in the you can find marmakomas for this in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, if you like. I just wanted to share with you one thing that I heard from the Rav Zichrono Livracha with regard to Shar Isurei Torah. And he said that even if we accept those Rishonim that hold that Shar Isurei Torah or Isurei Gavra, they would not disagree that Neder is an Isur Hefta, because that's explicit in the Gemara. The Gemara never goes on beyond Neder to talk about possible Cholov or Chadosh or Nevelus Treifus or Dam, etc., etc. So there you can go back and forth, you can vacillate, and you could hold, like some Rishonim do hold, that all Isurei Torah only in the Gavra. If you hold that all Isurei Torah are in the Gavra, then a neder could be, you could take a neder on a veil and trefa, because even though the Torah has already prohibited you in eating neveil and trefa, but there was nothing inherently wrong with neveil and trefa. It was only an Isur Gavra according to that. So you wouldn't apply the principle of ein neder chal al neder or ein Isur chal al Isur, because the neder creates an Isur Hefta, whereas the Isur Nevelus and Trefus only had an Isur Gavra, so you've now added a whole new dimension. But logically, given the fact that the Gemara classifies neder as an Isur Hefta, why shouldn't we accept a comparison, a binyan av, so to speak, and universalize this and say that just like neder is an Isur Hefta, all other Isurim are inherent in the Hefta? Meaning, I understand Shvuah. Shvuah, you never began with a Heftzah Isur. You began with a table or a chair or a piece of bread. It was Heftzah to begin with. So the burden of proof is on you to say that this Heftzah, which is a Heftzah that Tera, all of a sudden changed its identity and became a Heftzah Isura. So in the case of Shvuah, I have no proof to indicate that. I mean, what's wrong with this kikar? I mean, it's a beautiful kikar, and everybody else is eating it. Why shouldn't I eat it? So I took a shvuah, an Isur Gavra. But in the case of the veils and treifas, isn't it logical, intuitively, to say that every other Isur is in the Hefta? That the Torah prohibits this object because of something in the object? I admit to you that in the case of chometz, I have a problem, because the whole year round chometz is heter, so we have to renegotiate in the case of chometz. But nevelus and treifus and shkotzim vermosim and dam and all these terrible things, I mean, they're fair, they're all contaminated, no? I mean, wouldn't you say that's in the chefta? But I just wanted to say that the Rav pointed out, this is a very fascinating concept, that neder is a form of hegdish. Meaning, just like I could take this table and I could say I'm being magdish this table for Berek HaBayis, and now it takes on the status of hegdish with all the ramifications, so too every time a person takes a neder, he's really generating kedusha. Like the Ramban says at the beginning of Kedoshim, Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutalecha, and here you can create kedusha in an object. Now, I think the Rav's understanding is very revolutionary. I'll tell you why. Because in the case of a neder, how many people out of the universe are enjoined from enjoying that chefta? Only one. So if there's really kedusha in the object, we're going to have to go a step further, and we're going to have to say the kedusha is relative. Meaning, for you it's not kodesh, but for me it is kodesh. I mean, that certainly breaks the bounds of hegdesh. There is a concept of shiur, you know, like for example, a man could say hareat mekudeshesli aval at muteres leploni, you know, but in hegdish, I don't know that there is such a thing as a shiur. I don't know if you could say it's hegdish for everyone but you. For you, it's chulin. Either it's hegdish or it's not hegdish. You know, either she's pregnant or she's not. She's not halfway pregnant. So, by the same token, I find it very revolutionary to think, to be misbeinein in this idea that you take an object and through neder you convert the object to an object of kodesh, and yet it's only us on you and for everyone else it's a chefetz d'teira. So where's the kedusha? What moves the Rav to say that there's some sort of relationship between neder and hegdish? So I think the answer to that lies in that sheet of Rashi that we mentioned before, that Ikar Neder Batfasa. Batfasa means there's already something inherent in the object. For example, Kikar Zu Olai Kikarban. So Karban means Hegdish. And since, according to Rashi, Ikar Neder Batfasa, it makes sense to say that what I'm doing is I'm taking the Kedusha dimension of Hegdish and I'm, how should I say, superimposing it, I'm grafting it onto, or cloning it onto an object which is heter, which is chul. That's why konomos is your classical case in Adarim, because that's milosh and hegdish. But this would certainly explain, as the Rav said, those Rishonim who hold that all Isurei Torah are Isurei Gavra. Because if you'll quote to him the Gemara Nedarim and say, wait a minute, Neder is an Isur Hefter, why not say that Nevelis and Trefus is an Isur Hefter? The answer is, Neder is an Isur Hegdish. But nobody in their right mind would suggest that Bosa Mechalov or Nevelis and Trefus has any Kedusha to it. There's no Hegdish to it. It's pure Isur. So you could suggest that maybe it's an Isur Gav. So that's Machlokas Rishon. Let's move on to the case of Dmai. This I found very, very fascinating. We know that Dmai is Durabonon, and we're afraid that it's Tevel, meaning that the Bailim were not Mafrish Maisrus. But the Gemara says something interesting. The Gemara says that with regard to Mai, that Rov Ame Haaretz Ma'asrim Hain, that even despite the ignorance and the negligence, this whole mitzvah of Maisa fell into neglect at that time, nevertheless most people will still be Mafrish Maisa. But there's a miut that won't be Mafrish, and that generates a very severe Iser of Tevel, and therefore the Rabbanan, in order to protect us and fence us away from the Iser of non-Maisa, they said, whenever you buy grains from an Amoretz, you have no... he's not telling you he was mafresh it. If he tells you he's mafresh, it's a whole different story. Then you have to be mafresh it. You have to assume that it's not gemaisid, meaning that it's tev. So the question is, what's the status of demai? Would you say that the person has to stay away from demai? That's called an isagavra. Would you say that there's something inherent in the tvua, a din of tevel, that makes the cheftza of the fruit of the dmai into a cheftza d'isura? Again, keep in mind, I may be holding that all isurim, your general universal rule is that an isur is in the cheftza. And tevel itself, tevel doraisa, would be an isur cheftza. But here, in the case of dmai, we don't really believe it's tevel. Do you really, really believe it's tevel? You don't. Why not? Because rov hameyoretz ma'asrin him. So when the Rabbanan came along and they were choshesh, what did they do? Did they give it a din of tevel? And if you hold like those Rishonim, the tevel is in the chefta, that Yisurim are in the chefta, so too in Dmai. Or do we say no? The Rabbanan said, you know what? We want you to stay away from this tvua until such time as you mafresh it. We don't mean to say that treat it like it's tevel. We know that rov hameyaretz ma'asrin. So on this chakira about the nature of the Isur Dmai, I wanted to call to your attention two Mishnais. They're both very similar. Almost mirror images, one or the other. There's a Mishnah in the seventh parak of Brachos. The seventh parak of Brachos, as you all know, is dedicated to the Zimun, to the question of Birkas HaMazon B'Zimun. And the Mishnah says that Seuda Shalmacholas Asuros Ein Lezamein Aleha. We don't have Zimun on a meal of non-kosher food. So let's say you're in the war and you have to eat non-kosher food, right? You have to eat Nevelis or Trefus, non-kosher animals even. I mean, there are stories in Tzahal sometimes that they have to eat who knows what. So under those circumstances, you don't have a Zimun, because there's no Zimun on a Cheftza D'Isura. Now, we're going to get back to this in just a minute to see how that rule applies to Dmai. What happens if we had a group of people eating Dmai together? We had a Dmai party. Break out the Dmai. Then we have a Mishnah in Pesachim that records the following halacha with regard to the mitzvah of matzah. It says that if you took, let's say, Chadash in Eretz Yisrael, Bizman HaMikdash, so we avoid all the issues about Chadash. It's definitely Chadash. You took it and you made a dough out of it. First you made flour out of it, then you made a dough out of it, you baked it for matzah. So that's called Tvua Asura. In such a case, or matzah's tevel, if you eat that matzah, the Mishnah says you're not yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Why? Because you can't take a chefta di surah and convert it into a chefta di mitzvah. That's called mitzvah ba'avera. So you'll violate the isur tevel if you eat this matzah, because it's matzah's tevel, and you can't use that achila for your benefit, so to speak, to ring up brownie points for a mitzvah of achilas matzah. What about Tamai? So the Gemara asks in two places, the two places that we mentioned before, what's the status of Tamai? And the Gemara's medayik from the Mishnah in both cases, number one in the Zimun case, number two in the Matzah case, that Tamai is okay. There's no problem with Tamai. So the Gemara asks the question, Tamai holo chazile, in order to be yotzei the mitzvah birkas hamazon b'zimun, in order to be yotzei the mitzvah achilas matzah, you have to have some possibility of eating it. You have to have food that's edible. Edible means not only physically edible, as opposed to something that's mekulka, that's completely spoiled, but also it has to be halachically edible. It has to be edible al pi din. That's why we excluded zimun in the case of macholas hasuros. And that's why we excluded matzah in the case of matzah's teva. So the Gemara says, then how can you recite zimun on a suit of demai? How can you use demai for matzah in both cases, lo chazile? What's the difference, in other words, between demai and any cheftza disur? The Gemara answers in both places, mamish identical, both in brachos and Shabbos, brachos with zibud. I'm psochim with regard to matzah. The lashon is identical. Kevan de iboy mafkir nechase, v'havi ani, v'ochel d'mai hashtanami chazile. Are you familiar with this Gemara? I don't know if you've ever seen this Gemara. The Gemara says something very, very strange. The halach is that an ani is allowed to eat d'mai. If his total assets are, I don't know, less than Masayim Zuz, whatever the sugya saw, he's allowed to eat Tamai. But we're not talking about an Ani here, we're talking about an Ashir. So he wants to sit down and eat a meal out of Tamai, which he's not allowed to do. But let's say he has to do it. Extenuating circumstances. So the question is, would he be able to make a zimun or matzah's tamai? Would he be able to use it for the mitzvah matzah? So offhand, the Gemara's kasha is very strong. Holo chazile. It's not fit. It's not appropriate to eat that thing. So how can it be matzah? But then the Gemara answers, kevan di boy mafkin l'chose v'chazile hashnami chazile. That if he were to become an ani, by the way, I wouldn't recommend this, you know, to be mafkir or yinachasim, maybe for matzah, but I don't know, for zimun, you know, that's a heavy price to pay, you know. Guy's worth a couple of million, and a billion maybe, I don't know, there's some billionaires floating around. So what are you going to do? You're going to be mafkir or yinachasim? You know, somebody's going to jump on the bandwagon and just take it, call it right, you know, call it kodim zocha. But in any event, so he could have theoretically, we'll call it a theoretical possibility, he could have been mafkir his nechasim. What would be his status if he's mafkir his nechasim? He's an ani. Is he allowed to eat tamai? He's allowed to eat tamai. Is there hashtanami chazile? What does that mean, hashtanami chazile? He's not an ani. He's eating tamai. What do you think that in the light of our chakira about how the Issa Tamai was formulated, was established, would one of those two possibilities enable us to understand perhaps why Tamai is radically different than all the other Isurim, which you can't be mezamin on them, you can't use them for matzah? Correct. How does the Gemara prove, so to speak, again, in inverted commas, how does Gemara prove that Demai is an Issa Gavra? and it's different than all other Isurim, including Tevel itself.
It's different for an Ani or an Ashir.
Exactly. The Gemara thinks that if the Rabbanan would have given it a shame Tevel mid-Rabbanan, then Rabbanan Shalom, okay, he's an Ani, I feel for him, my heart goes out for him, we have to give him Tzedakah, Lach Yoso, all the mitzvahs of Tzedakah apply, Poseh, Tiftach, and Tzedakah. But therefore, he should be permitted to violate an Avera? But the teretz is, and I heard this once from Rav Braunschweigel, I don't know if you ever heard of Rav Braunschweigel. Rav Braunschweigel, for many, many decades, was a Rebbe in YU, and then he broke away and opened up his own place. It's called Landis College. But during his tenure at YU, which again spans many, many decades, I was lucky to have him as a Rebbe. I was 14 years old at the time. But I this is one thing I remember, because I was very new to this kind of thinking, and it made an indelible impression on me. He said that the fact that Tmai is Asur to Reuven, namely an Asher, and Mutter to Shimon, because Shimon is an Ani, that demonstrates, in the Gemara's approach, that the Iser is in the Gavra. Therefore, we can understand why Zimun could be Chal on Su'uda Shel Tmai. Why matzah could be made of dmai? Because the halacha here is that if the cheftz is a cheftz of the isura, you can't bench on a cheftz of the isura. You can't eat a cheftz of the isura and call it a mitzvah. But if the isura is in the gavra, then already it's a whole different story, different rules that govern it. Now, at the time I heard this, I was completely sold. I bought into it. Today, I'm a little bit skeptical. I'm not 1,000% sure it's correct. It should be correct, but I'm not sure it's correct. Because neder is your classical case, Talmudically, of an Isur Hefza. That's defined as your Isur Hefza. That's your paradigm. In the case of neder, there are people who can eat from this neder, eat this kikar. Not only that, everyone can eat from the kikar with the exception of one person. The answer is you can have an Isur Hefza that's subjective and only applies to one person. So let's say, for example, there's something called Madir Hanah L'Chaver. So let's say I own this object. I can create an Isur Hanah on the whole world. Supposing I create an Isur Hanah on Ashirim and not on Aniyim, I can do that as well. You know, so you can limit an Isur Hefta. So the fact that Dmai is a limited kind of Isur, and I think the issue here really is the following. What is the deal with it, with an Ani? Is it that when the Rabbanan established the Isur Dmai, they did not establish it from the beginning with regard to an Ani? He was excluded, he was outside the pale of this prohibition, or no? An Ani, like everyone else, is not allowed to eat Dmai. But if he has to eat Dmai, you know, this gets into Hutra Dchuya kind of concepts. Maybe he should eat the Dmai pachas mikashir, you know, less than a kezayis. I don't know. Maybe it is a cheftz d'isur. That's why I say that this migu, it works well the way we're interpreting it, but maybe migu is an entirely different kind of migu. The hoil that he could make himself into an ani is telling us that it's a less severe Isur. I don't know if it's not in the Hefta, maybe it means that he has the potential of eating it. But anyway, that's one way of going. Let's go to all Isurim d'Rabbanan. Oh, we have 5 more minutes. So let's see how, again, I don't think we're going to finish the whole discussion, because there's a beautiful Shtickle Torah here from the Brisker Rav about Isur Zaris Betruma. But we won't get to that tonight. If you're interested, we can continue this next time, and then we can talk about a different aspect of Brisk as well. I have a few different shiurim that I'd love to share. What about Isuri D'Rabbanan? Now, even though Dmai is an Isur D'Rabbanan, and we've just concluded, if you take that pshat in the Gemara, Kevan Dibay Mafkil and Achasei, that Dmai is only in the Gavra, not in the Hefta. I don't know if you have the right to extrapolate from Dmai to other Isurim D'Rabbanan, for a simple reason. Dmai is very unique. Rov Hamiyara, it's Ma'asrenim. So maybe the Rabbanan just said, stay away from Dmai. But what about other Isurim? What about other Isurim that the Rabbanan instituted? So if you take a look in the Berek HaBayis of the Ra'ah,
he claims that on an Issa Drabbanon, we don't apply the rule of Shavye Anafshe Chaticha Disura. In other words, a person prohibits upon himself an Issa Doraisa. He can take on himself an Issa Doraisa, but he doesn't take on himself an Issa Drabbanon. Why? So I heard once from my Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Dov Schwarzman, till Zayn Gesund, he's not doing too well, but he said, Rav Dov, in fact, I just visited, I made a shiva call to Yudi Nussbaum. I don't know if you know Yudi. So Yudi lost his father, Sam Nussbaum. You know them? So Sam... Yeah, you're related? Sam, you should know, was very close to Rav Dov. From the time that Yudi learned under Rav Dov Schwarzman, they became very, very close. And I didn't know this till I visited Yudi, sitting shiva, that was yesterday. And Yudi, you know, we were schmoozing about the old days in yeshiva, and he points to that room and he said, you don't know how many times Rav Dov slept in that room. I didn't realize that they had such a close relationship. So anyway, Rav Dov wants to say the following, that Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura really works me din neder. I mean, this is a gigantic issue that the Ketzos HaChoshen talks about, and the Mari Ibn Leib, who came before the Ketzos, that neder is the basis, is the source for Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura. So basically, when a person makes a statement, a declaration, and as a result of that declaration, he takes upon himself an Issa, that's an Issa Neder, which has to be Chal Nechefta. But on an Issa Drabbanan, when a person takes upon himself an Issa Drabbanan, an Issa Drabbanan could not be, according to the Berak Abayis, in the Nechefta, because an Issa Drabbanan is always, by definition, an Issa Gavra, which means that we're taking Dmai, and we're making Dmai into a universal principle. And the Baal HaShita, the one who originated this idea way back when, was Rav Yosef Engel. He was a Gaon, and he wrote a sefer called Asmin Doraisa. And if you take a look in that sefer, he writes that Isurei Drabbanan are Isurei Gavra. Chachamim never converted the object into a Cheftzid Isura, but rather they prohibited the Gavra from enjoying the benefit of the Cheft, from the Cheftza. So it's always an Isur Gavra. That's how he understands all Isurim Dirabbanan. Alright, we'll stop here. Any questions on what we said so far? Maybe we have time, you know, I'm looking at the thing for one question. Was everything crystal clear?
We're trying to extrapolate from Dmai to all Isurei Dirabbanan, but we've already said that Dmai is different.
Correct. So the Asmin Doraisa is going to really have to convince us. He can't stand on the feet of Dmai. You know, Dmai would not be a proof. He's got to really go beyond and show us that Isurim Drabbanan are not in the Cheftza, they're only in the Gavra. The logic of it is that what power does the Rabbanan have over me? The answer is Mitzvah L'Shmor B'Divrei Chachamim, Shal Yeruch, etc. So the Rabbanan can tell me how to act. They can't change the Cheftza. I mean, it doesn't have Kedush in it. It's really not Isur. So I think, in effect, those Rishonim who are not codified by the Asmin Doraisa and hold the position that Isurei Drabbanan, like Isurei Doraisa, are inherent in the Cheftza, the burden of proof is on them, in a sense, to say, to establish that the Drabbanan have the power to create an Isur Cheftza. But truth be told, I mean, the case of Yotav Sheni Shel Golias, I think, it's not Cheftza Gavra Chakira. But there too, the Rabbanan are taking a day and endowing it with Kedusha Sayom. I mean, that day is a Yom Chol, and yet the Rabbanan can create Kedusha in it. To the extent to which I can recite Kiddush. Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim on Yom Tov Sheni. Which the Rabbam says, Vazman is a Takona. It's no longer, you know, Midigam Vosenu Piyodeinu. So that Takona has the power to create Kedusha Sayom. That's pretty wild. And once again, it's relative. Because you might be here in Toronto observing Yom Tov Sheni while I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I'm driving my car in Yom Tov Sheni. The answer being that the Kedusha, like Nedarim, could be relative and could be circumscribed, applies to you and not to me. But be that as it may, I don't know if I would lose any sleep over the possibility and entertaining the idea that the Rabbanan in Isurim Drabbanan created a Cheftzid Isura. And the classical case would be Truma. because Minat Torah Truma only applies to the Chameshes Minei Dagon, possibly to Peres HaIlon according to the Rambam, or at least according to other Rishonim in Zeisim V'Anovim. But what about Yerokos? So Truma, there's a Chiv Truma and Isur Tevel in Yerokos. So the Rabbanon are creating a Chefter Nisur over here. And I think if we go through the Isur and the Rabbanon one by one, we could probably say that all of them, or at least most of them, would qualify as an Isur. Okay, I wish you a great week, and thanks for coming.